I greet you all this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus as we hear his own word that where we gather in that name, God will be with us. And let's seek to worship our God as he seeks us to worship in spirit and in truth this morning. It's wonderful to have folk visiting with us. Good to have you. Pray God's particular blessing on you. Some of our own usual congregation, being a long weekend perhaps, are away. And we commend them to God's care where they are. And it's good to have you coming to join with us. A couple of notices that I would mention at the outset. There are a number of things printed out for you. A few changes. For example, the prayer meeting this week, or there will not be a prayer meeting this week. I have another engagement, and we would hope to have that back to normal the following week on the 15th, so please do take note of that. Also to remember that next Sunday after the morning service, we hope to have a brief congregational meeting. There's a few things of business that come around each year that we need to cover, so please do, as particularly as members, please do try and be available for that. A reminder too of the time for prayer before the evening service, 6:10, short time for prayer together, and the blessing that that's been for us, to urge you to make use of that. I also want to mention one birthday. The plan that was that I was going to mention it. I thought you'd be here. Pat has a birthday next Sunday. She didn't want me to mention it, but I was going to anyway. So she's not here today either, but please do remember her for next Sunday, for that special day. And then I must apologize, I didn't get this out sooner to you, but each of you in your service sheet would have had one of these red and purple flyers, Dr. Helen Rosevear. Some of her writing has been immensely helpful to me and my family in the past. She's a very good speaker, well retired by now, but still a very, very lively speaker and writer. And she's going to be at a meeting on Tuesday just up the road. So if you have that evening free or can make it free, I think you'd find her well worth going to. Now, there is one of these in each of the sheets, and if, say, there's an extra in the family, you might like to pass it on to somebody else that you think of. That's why there's plenty of them to go around. So please do bear that in mind as well. So these are the main things, I think, that I would draw to your attention at this point, but otherwise do please make use of whatever else is printed there for you, and including the prayer items. But our activities, keep those in your prayers as well. Remember the words of the psalm as we come together for the worship of God. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. So to him let us come, and we open first with praise in Psalm 146. You'll find it on page 191. Psalm 146, the version we find on page 191, and we'll sing the verses marked 1-6, the first four stanzas. Praise the Lord, my soul, oh praise him. I'll extol him all my days. While I live, to God my Savior, from my heart I will sing praise. And then there's also word to others. Do not put your trust in princes, mortal men who cannot save. All their plans will come to nothing when they perish in the grave. Blessed is the one who truly looks for help to Jacob's God. Blessed is the one who places all his hope upon the Lord. Who is this Lord who made the earth and heaven, the seas with all their store? He keeps his every promise, who is faithful evermore. Let's sing to the praise of this our God. Psalm 146, we'll stand to sing and we'll stay standing after that to pray together.
Praise the Lord, my soul, oh praise him, I'll extol him all
Together. Lord our God, we give thanks that we are brought to this place this morning, to the place where your people gather to worship you and to encourage one another. We pray, O Lord, that you will indeed be present with us according to your own word. We pray these things in the name of your Son. We ask in him because we cannot come ourselves. We do not deserve your presence. Indeed, O Lord, you would be a destroying fire, a purifying fire, should we come in any other way. We only come as sinners, O Lord. We come because we all too often put our hope in ourselves or in others, who have made so little, who have kept so little of our word, who have been faithless so often. O Lord our God, we pray that you would pardon us, that you would cleanse all unrighteousness, that you will look upon us in your own righteousness in Christ Jesus. How we praise you that you have sent your own beloved Son, that you keep your word to that very limit, beyond the limit and the imagination of man, to give yourself to bear our sins. We give thanks, O Lord, that our sins could not overcome him. We thank you that death could not overcome him. And therefore we can come to you, O Lord, and in that confidence we can go into life in the confidence that in him we are even more than conquerors. But we pray, Lord God, that as we come to worship you this morning, it will be also that equipping of us, that we will be found in Christ Jesus, that we will not let him go, that you will not let us go, but that you will keep us in your ways, and that this will be our delight. We thank you, O Lord, for the blessings that you have showered upon us once more today, and to remind us of blessings in the past, and above all, the blessing of calling us to yourself, working in us by your Spirit, and applying your word, that we might put our trust in our God, the one true and living God, and come to you in the way that you have set, through your own beloved Son, our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord God, that you will guide us by your Spirit again as we gather here. We pray that as we open your word in its various ways, including in praise, that you will be at work in our hearts, that we will receive, that we will understand, and we will be drawn ever closer to yourself. We pray, Lord God, that we will know and rejoice that we are found in your presence today. We commend to you those who are visiting with us and rejoice in their presence. We pray that you would be with their own churches or families and other friends that they have a care for at this time while they're apart. We pray, Lord, that you would bless those who are normally with us and are elsewhere today, and that they might be a blessing amongst the people that they are with. We ask, Lord, too, for your blessing on those who are in particular need, who are hindered perhaps even from coming to us or amongst us here. But where there is a particular need, it may be in body, it may be in mind or in spirit, we ask, Lord God, that you would uphold them. Where there are those who are caring for others in need, pray that they might know a particular strength and your great wisdom and grace. So we pray that you would go before us now in all that we undertake together. And may the praise and the glory be unto you, unto the Lamb that was slain, our Lord Jesus Christ. May he be lifted up amongst us, that we might be drawn into a true walk with our God, humbling ourselves, resisting the evil one, and knowing that we are found under the grace and the shining glory and the loving glimpse and glance of our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven. We pray, O Lord, that we might continue faithful before you in our worship together. In Jesus' name, we ask all things. Amen. Let us now make confession of our faith together. I will read. Would you make it your own as you hear and affirm in your hearts before our God this morning? We read the words known as the Apostles' Creed and share with the church throughout this world in such confession. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May God bless this also amongst us this morning. Now let us turn to our continued readings now in the book of Leviticus. As we've been reading through the Old Testament, week by week, we come now to Leviticus chapter 2. Exodus was God leading his people out of Egypt and then preparing them as a people. The first thing to be done was to establish the place of meeting with their God, the tabernacle. A large part of Exodus was the design and the building of that tabernacle. When that place of meeting was erected, then it was to be used. And this Leviticus tells us, at least to begin with, tells us of the offerings, the use of this tabernacle. In the first chapter, was read last week as by our visiting preacher, and there it tells us of the burnt offering where all the animal is given over to God, and it is given over by faith to make atonement, to make that the worshipper make the way open by which he might come to his God. And having come to his God through atonement, we then have now in chapter 2 the grain offering. Let us read God's word. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. Excuse me. And if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. You shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from full heads. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense, as an offering made by fire to the Lord. This is God's word, and we seek his blessing as we read it together. Notice the superb quality of this offering. It is fine flour. There's a great deal of effort has gone into it. It's been ground and ground and ground repeatedly, but it is fine. Oil was expensive and difficult to obtain, especially for these people traveling in the wilderness. Frankincense was a very costly spice. High quality, a costly offering. One that is offered, volunteered by the worshipper. Also, a pure offering, no leaven or honey. Both of them speak of fermentation and decay, not permitted. On the other hand, salt was required as a purifying element. A small part of what was given was a handful, was a memorial, a reminder that they were to remember God's provision for them. And then the larger part was given to Aaron and his sons. It was their provision. It was their living, shall we say. They would take this for food. Just a reminder of the key elements in that reading. Again, seeking God's blessing as we do hear his word together. Let's now turn to sing once more, and we turn to Psalm 37 on the traditional version. You'll find on page 252. Psalm 37, page 252. We'll sing the verses marked 1 to 6. That's five stanzas. Psalm 37 from the beginning. For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly, nor do thou envy bear to those that work iniquity. For even like unto the grass soon be cut down shall they. Like the green and tender herb they wither shall away. Instead, set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good. And so on we'll sing through to the end of the verse marked 6, Psalm 37. Let's stand again to sing. Thank you.
For evil doers spread their lot, thy sons quietly, nor do thou envy them to those that were iniquity. For evil lying unto the ground, soon be brought down,
for a moment, and I wanted to pick up on something that Mr. McLeod, he was visiting, preaching with us last week, and just along the way, he'd said something about one of these. Does anyone know what this one is? What's this? You're not used to using those, are you? It's quite like one that you'd be used to using. What is it? What is it? It's a coin? You see? It's a 1p, it's a penny. And I'm not sure if you were here, but Mr. McLeod, just as he was talking about something, he used this as an example, and I thought, let's talk about this a little bit more. But I'm actually going to use this one instead. What's this one? Yeah. That's a 50p, isn't it? So you can get a bit more with this than you can with that one. So I'm going to use this one. And I need two people to help me, and one of you, whoever comes first, can have this if you help me well. That's why I'm not using a penny. You can't get a lot with 50p, but you can get something. Do you want to try it? You can have it, but you need to help me first. William, you want to help me, don't you? Come on. Can you just stand there, and I need you to actually look sort of sideways, so you're fine there, you don't have to look at everybody, although maybe a little bit later you can help. Now I want you to put that up and hold it in front of, close one of your eyes and hold that up in front of the other one, okay? No, the other one, that's right, and bring it, you need to bring it quite close so that you can't see me. Can you see me there? So there's about, what, 2 inches there away from his face, and he can't see me, and I'm just about a yard away, a meter away from him, okay? He can't see me. 50p, well, it's not a lot, but you can do something with it, so if you really like to have it, then you'll keep your eye on it, won't you? All right, so that's what we're talking about. You're keeping your eye on that 50p, and you can't see it. Can you see this piece of paper while you're doing all that? Can you see this piece of paper?
You can see a corner.
Yeah, just a corner of it. Can you see it now? Can you see it? No. So it's not very big, is it? Now, so that means that you probably can't see this. Okay? You can't see what I've got here. But you're quite happy with 50p, all right? You've got 50p in your hand, you can see it, you're quite happy with that. But you see what happens If he focuses on that, that's what's in his eye. He can't see this. Do you know what? Do you want to see what this is?
Okay.
Take your penny away. Wow. Okay. Wow. Don't see many of those around these days, do you? So, well, I didn't take somebody else here. You can't have this one. But even more than that, if you turn around for a minute and you put that up just where you had it, close one eye, put that up where you had it, okay, right up by your eye, you take it even closer and you say, well, this is really important, and you've got it right up by it so that you can keep your eye on it, put it right close to your eye, and you turn around a wee bit, put it right up close, turn around to face the people. Can you see many other people?
No.
So you're not very far away, are you? But just that little thing, and he can't see you. Can you do one thing for him, William? Take that penny and hold that to you if you want. And you probably need to hold it. You hold on to that. That's yours, I said. Take it even closer to your eye and see how much you can see. Can you see? Can you see this? No? So even that small little penny, a little thing in your life, that you say, right, this is, I've got this, I'm going to do this. You could be missing something so much bigger, so much better. This is bigger, you're better, okay? But you miss it, you can't see it because you've got your eyes filled with something else that's really quite small. And how often we can do that in our lives? There's something, thank you, William, I mustn't hold you there any longer. You can have that one as well. 51p, what a morning. Okay. But what if someone said to me, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to keep my eye covered with this little thing. I'm going to keep my eye open to see if there's anything bigger and better. Then William could have seen that, and he could have said, well, give me that one instead. That's what the Bible talks about so often. That's what the Bible talks about this morning, that we're going to be talking about a little later. I want you to turn with me then to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 2, William, did I say thank you for helping? I do appreciate it very much, thank you. There's a little bit there for you. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Again, reading God's word and seeking his blessing upon it as we do so. Let the praise be his. We turn again to pray. Let us seek our God in prayer together. You've promised us wisdom, O Lord, and we pray for that wisdom, for a right response to your word. As we have set before us two ways, that wisdom will truly be in our hearts, that knowledge will be pleasant to our souls, and we will know your preserving and keeping. That we will know to discern between the good and the evil. We will know also that evil, though it appears attractive so often, as even the evil one can make himself as an angel of light, we ask, Lord God, that you will help us to perceive that we will no longer be simple, but you have given us a great treasure in your truth, in your word. That where we've devoted ourselves to so many other things in our daily lives, we would confess and return and seek after that way that is true wisdom. Not only for today, not only for the limits of our daily of our lives, but for eternity. We ask, Lord, that you will meet and deal with each one of us in the condition of our hearts today. We will know your great loving kindness, that patience through which you call us to turn from every wicked way and to hold fast to you as the one who is pleased to work mightily within us. That this itself will be our seeking, our searching. And that we might also know the privilege of serving you. We ask, Lord God, that this might be found in every place where your people gather in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus. And where your word is open, especially, that it will be effective, that it will be as water on a dry and thirsty ground to bring forth life. We pray where there are so many who are in great need of finding a way through this life, that there will be that recognition that there is no simple catalogue of behavior that will stand except that we are joined with our God through Christ Jesus. We pray for the churches in this town. We thank you for your people here. And we pray that there might be a planting of your truth and of your spirit and many more. And we thank you, Lord, for evidences of that work of your spirit in recent days. We thank you for the ways in which folk have been coming together to pray, where there are those who have come to a knowledge of Christ, and we pray that they might grow in that relationship with you in him. We pray for the great city that we're beside, and the great city of London. You tell us, O Lord, that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. It is a city that is open to the gaze of the world. We plead, O Lord, that there would be a reviving of true faith amongst men in this place. We commend to you others of our acquaintance who are ministering and serving as your people in the city. Through the week in the lunchtime meetings, we pray too now for the London City congregation with our special connection with them. We commend them to you for their time of worship and fellowship today. We ask that though it appears very small from the perspective of the magnitude of the city, we pray, O God, that you would raise up the working of your Spirit and your Word through this precious seed of your people. We do praise you, Lord, for the other connections that we have around the city. We ask, Lord, that you would prosper them, folk in Ealing, folk in Camberwell, and elsewhere. We ask especially for Canada Water and Kruger de Kock. We ask for them as a family, as they're expecting another child shortly. We pray that you would prosper their ministry there, as you have done. We rejoice in the number of folk who have been enriched by that fellowship there in Canada Water. Further afield, we remember our congregations in Scotland. We ask your blessing upon them and the various concerns that they have. We would remember Ullapool especially after Alison MacLeod being with us last week. We commend that work to you. We thank you for the developments in his time there. And we pray especially for the school that he is concerned for and the difficulty of ministering this message of Christ in that place, that you would provide and open a way, that there will be this hope available to the young people there. Grant, Lord, your blessing too, again, upon the various churches that we have connections with as a congregation throughout the world, the folk in from Australia, as they have served you already today. We pray for Israel and the Grace and Truth congregation there. We remember the Africans and the Indians. We pray too for North America and ask that they might be awakened shortly to your day with a great desire to serve and honor you across that across those countries there. We ask especially for our friends in the Netherlands, and we thank you for fellowship through our visitors today. We pray that you would uphold and guide them, that they themselves would seek out your wisdom for the dilemmas that they face each day, each week, and through the years. That you would continue to prosper the hold of the gospel in that nation. In Western Europe as a whole, we pray, O God, that you would raise up people, as there is a great hardness, it would seem, against the message of Christ and faith in him. We pray that there would be a breaking down of walls of opposition and of the hardness of man's heart. Lord, may your light shine once more. May you grant that knowledge of our God in the way that you have appointed through Christ. We pray that many might humble themselves and rejoice that you have cleansed and granted the atonement for sin, to draw near unto you. Again, we ask, Lord, that you would prosper each of us through the trials that we face each day. We would not seek necessarily the prosperity of this world, but that we might be found with our God, that we might know that safekeeping and that the riches that are before your people, and that though there might even be affliction in this time, in this age, in this life, we would regard it, as did the apostle, as but a light affliction which works an eternal weight of glory. Hear us, O Lord, we would pray, only by your mercies, only according to your abundant grace and the faithfulness of your own word. We ask these things through him who loved us and gave himself for us, and that in him you would look upon us as righteous, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us turn once more to sing together in Psalm 84. Psalm 84, page 112. We'll sing the second half of the psalm from verse 8 to the end. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, and receive the plea I make. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Hear me, for your mercy's sake. Look upon our shield and bring favor to your chosen king. And so on. We'll sing to the end of the psalm from verse 8. Let's stand again to sing.
Hear my prayer, O God Almighty, and receive the plea I make. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Hear me for your mercy's sake. Look upon our shield and bring favor to your chosen king. One day in your voice is better than a thousand days elsewhere. Let me stay in my God's temple. Let me be
open again at Proverbs chapter 2. Excuse me. From verse 3, particularly, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so on. I wonder when was the last time that you really wanted something? The last time that you wanted something so much that you would move everything to get it, or you would push everything aside to make sure that you got it. You wouldn't focus on anything else. Maybe it needed money. You wouldn't spend money on anything else until you had enough to get this. Maybe, most likely, it was that you wanted your own way. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. You get your own way. Maybe it was something. Maybe it was a gadget. Maybe it was some clothes. And you were going to spend that money, whatever else might have been necessary, or what anybody else might have said. As often as not, what guides many people in life, maybe you too. You wanted to get attention. You want approval. And other things go by the wayside until you get it. When it's like that, even good sense goes out the window. When it's like that, decency towards other people collapses. When it's like that, even earlier obligations, things that you've committed to, things that you ought to be committed to, they fall away because you want something, whatever it might be. You want something so much, but when was the last time you wanted God like that? When was the last time you were a Bartimaeus who, with all the crowd saying, "Be quiet, don't bother Jesus," he said, "Let me through." That blind beggar. When was the last time you really desperately wanted wisdom, wanted truth? When you really gave yourself over, you were desperate, you would not let anything go until you could understand. All those other things, you want them so much, you get them eventually because you want them so much. What's their benefit for you? Isn't it very brief? Short term? What about long term good? Long term benefit? Look at your life. Let's look at our lives. Let's get some things very clear, which this passage points us to. To consider what it is that you're after, what it is that you want so much. What it is that you're after, then you might say, well, let's talk about that. That's what the Bible says. So yes, I do want those things. How much do you want it? These verses talk about that as well. But if you do want these wonderful things that God has, and you want them desperately, you would give all that you have to get them. This also tells us that will be rewarded. So let's go through these, I suggest, key steps. What is it that you're after? How much do you want it? And also to see that God, there are things that God gives richly. What is it that you're after? And we need to, in the time available, we need to concentrate on the most difficult thing, the thing that when everything else goes what we call pear-shaped, it goes upside down and all out of order, and all those other things that we've been focusing on, they leave us with nothing in our hands. When all that happens, the thing that many people come back to is, what's it all about? Why? I need to understand. So many are faced with these struggles. There are many around us, and especially in this part of the world, who seem to have everything. Psalm 37 talks about that. They couldn't care less about God, and they have everything. They have money, they have stuff, they have cars, houses, holidays, all sorts of things. And there's probably a lot that they have tucked away that you don't see. And they can go on like that for a long time. But you probe a little further, you will find that most, if not all, even who seem to have everything in this life, have underlying problems. Things that are just there below the surface. Maybe their problems are not money. But even having a great deal of money, their problems could be exactly that, the money they have. For many, the problems today are in their relationships, the people around them. There's a grating, there's a conflict, there's tension there. If they have relationships at all, perhaps. And there are so many who, at least to some degree, are asking, what's it all about? Things get difficult, they're trying to understand. What is it that's going on? You go through your daily life and you say, well, how am I ever going to know what's the right thing to do? How am I going to get through difficult times? These are questions that everybody is facing. You perhaps You can remember a moment, perhaps you're going through that right at the minute. Maybe you have some measure of understanding. Maybe you have a key to be able to go in and find that answer. There are many who don't. Up to this point, through in chapter 1, Solomon and wisdom. Wisdom is looks like a person, speaks like a person under the name wisdom. Through quite a number of the chapters in this in Proverbs, but so far already, even through to just chapter 1, Solomon and wisdom are giving a list. They're talking through a whole lot of things that people use to get what they want in this life. The ways that people behave. Some of them, in the first part of the chapter, are very unpleasant. But wisdom also knows, in the second part of the chapter, wisdom knows that the time comes, times come when there are those who appear to be successful in their evil. They appear not to have trouble. Then they do have trouble. A time comes when they do have trouble. What does wisdom say to them? For example, back in chapter 1, verse 24, because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. And then continues into verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. In verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Why? Verse 29 gives us the reason. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In all the ways that men have gone, and there is wisdom set out in front of us, men reject it. The time will come when they'll look for it. But wisdom is saying, you won't find it, I will not help you, because you would not hear. Chapter 1 tells us that the one who does not hear wisdom is a fool. And the fool is still a fool because he has rejected wisdom. Yesterday I was in the garden. I managed to dig up half the dandelions. There's other dandelions that just got cut. They're still dandelions. A fool might get cut down, brought to the stage of desperation, but if he will not accept wisdom, if he will not turn to wisdom, truly cry out for it, as we read here, he remains a fool. The call here is to look for discernment and understanding. Make those the priority for your life. What are you looking for? What do you want? Because this is talking about wanting something with that aching of heart until you find it. We'll talk about that in just a moment, how much you want it. But the things to look for in verse 3, discernment, understanding. Discernment, so that you will know what is good. There's a prophecy in Isaiah concerning, we would understand, it's about concerning Christ. And it says that he will to come to an age when he can tell the difference between good and evil. He has the discernment. He can distinguish. Earlier in chapter 1, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Verse 22. It's talking about someone who just hasn't a clue. Everything just looks as it looks at face value, and that's the way they go. Instead of realizing that behind these things there is so much else. Discernment says, you know, you can penetrate further. Discernment, to know what's worthwhile, what's significant. Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 4, he says, think about the things that are of good report, the things of virtue, the things that are beautiful. Make the distinctions in life. John, in his first letter, he talks about testing the spirits. Take a really good look, try and discern the differences. Discernment to know who is the better friend to have. And the other side, to know what's unhelpful, to know what's wrong, to know what's evil. To know what and who is better to walk away from. Cry out for discernment. To make distinctions in life. The two ways that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Lift up your voice for understanding. To understand the world that we live in. As the world that God has made. Therefore, to understand your place before God. To understand yourself. You are probably the most confusing person to you on earth. We don't know ourselves. But come to this, look for this understanding. And this promise is that you will find it. All those questions that so many people do have. And you will have at some point if you haven't had them already. Even the believer will often realize that they're asking these questions. We still have so far to go. You face a problem in your day, maybe later on today, maybe you did this morning, maybe you will tomorrow. Well, certainly you will somewhere along the way. How do I deal with this problem? What do I do here? What do I do with this? What do I do with that person? And you say, someone give me some answers. And Proverbs does, through the following chapters. But when you come to those answers that the Bible has in front of you, how will you deal with that answer? How will you respond to that answer? Your response may be completely unhelpful if you have not first resolved this question. If you have not said, what is it that I want? The old English, want means lack or what's missing. Let's bear that in mind too. What is missing? True, real wisdom. Discernment, understanding, as the Bible speaks of it. And as we open up a little further in a moment. But see too the clues that we have in these verses as to how much you want it. Because you may well come to those questions and you may well say, someone help me to understand. And then you get what Proverbs has to say or what Jesus has to say, many of them related to the Proverbs, what the Bible has to say about that problem. And you say, oh, I don't really like that answer. How much do you want to understand? How much does the church today truly desire, and how desperate are we to get to a proper understanding of this world that we live in, of ourselves, of our God? How much will you say, do we say, I must have this or I die? Proverbs 3 says, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, that you're not embarrassed to say, someone help me, because I must have this. Life is useless if I don't. This is to say, Williams 50p does nothing for me. Get that out of my way so I can see what's on offer. What really is there? There must be something bigger. Must be something better out there. I referred to chapter 1 leading up to these verses. And it talks about some people who do go looking for help when tough times come. But they won't go looking for help if they can avoid it. Until those tough times come. Until those tough times come, they say, I'll work my own plans, thank you very much. I can work this out. When all that goes wrong, then they come and say, help. Wisdom says, they hated knowledge. Didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Because they said, yes, someone help me to understand life. And when someone tried to help them to understand life and said, this is the way life is, they said, oh no, that doesn't suit me, thank you very much. And only when things really got tough, they said, oh, maybe I ought to go back. Chapter 2, verses 3 and following tell us that this needs something different. It tells us that we will find help. Chapter 1 says you won't find help. Chapter 2 says you will find help if you make this search your priority. If you are prepared to cry out, if you're prepared to lift up your voice, help! Show me! If you will go and you will search, seek her as silver. As though William comes up afterwards and says, where did you put that £10? Search for her as for hidden treasures. Many of you young people, or perhaps let's start with the older folk, when you were young people and you were going off somewhere and you shouted out to Mum, Mum, I can't find my shoes. And Mum says, have you looked? Where have you looked? Dad says, look behind that, and there they are. How much have you looked? Search for hidden treasures. Remember a parable that Jesus told in two parts in Matthew 13, just a few verses. He tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so often Jesus, when he's teaching, you can see relations with, especially with Proverbs, and he uses that kind of style of teaching, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. This isn't in that sermon, but it's very similar to much of what he says. But he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. Or it's the man who is seeking beautiful pearls. He's seeking them. He's going here and there. He travels the world to find, and he finds a supreme example, and he gives up everything else so that he can have this. That's the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. Utterly impractical. Sell everything else you have. You can't eat a pearl. You can't live on it. But it's a treasure. And for most people these days, the kingdom of heaven seems utterly impractical, but it is the treasure. It is the way of understanding. How much does that matter to you, to me? This matters if you cry out, if you lift up your voice, if you seek as silver, search for her as hidden treasures. That matters because it shows the sincerity, the devotion of your heart to this objective. It shows the openness of your heart to receive what will be given. You say, I will take it whatever it is. I must have it. That pearl of great price, remember Jesus also said a bit before that, he said, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. The pearls, the treasure that you are to seek after, wisdom and understanding and discernment, they are the things that you will receive. But back in chapter 1, wisdom says, no, I won't give myself to you. What Jesus calls the dogs or the swine. He won't give his pearls to dogs, to men who have no care for them in their hearts. To you, if you have no care for it in your heart, he won't give it. You will come to the place where you say, I don't know what to do. How do I understand this? But what's in your heart for him? Men say that they want to understand. They want to be able to live a good life. But when the Bible teaches how to live a good life, discernment and understanding, will you have it? When you go into school, maybe college, maybe some other training, and there's a teacher there, and they teach you things that you haven't known before, what do you say to them? Do you say, no, I don't like that? That doesn't quite fit with the way I think. You don't, do you? You're there to learn, to receive. From their experience, from their understanding, from their advanced understanding of things. When we come to God, we say, what do I do? Give me this. Do this for me. And he says, well, you need to do this. This is the way to go. What do you say? By and large, man says, no, I don't want that. This section puts the question to you and to me. How committed are you? How far will you go to find those things you say you want? Are you crying out? Are you lifting up your voice? Are you seeking as silver? Are you searching for hidden treasures? Then you will be heard. Then you will get an answer. You will be given what you say you're after, but only then. And so what God gives is also here. If, then, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you realize just what a gift this is? Now you turn to me, or someone turns to me and says, well, you're talking about the fear of the Lord and knowing God. Yes. But what about my problems every day? How does that help? What about when I have to decide something? What about when I have to decide whether it's wise to go with my friends and do this or that? What if I have to decide whether I should afford that new gadget or even an over-the-counter coffee when I can get one at home? What about those little daily decisions that I have to make? And all that you're talking about is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. How do I get to that problem from the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God? Well, it does take some working out. But remember, God appointed that Proverbs should be written in this order. Those things are dealt with, but not until this is dealt with. Not until you have a foundation. That foundation, there's probably one of the newest churches in the Free Church in South Africa, but it wasn't built by the time we left 12 years ago, but it is built now. Half of the money that they spent on it had to go into a foundation. It's built, it's standing. It's still standing. It takes some work, but you've got to start at the beginning. One of my summer jobs as a youngster was out in the sun, burning sun, and using creosote to paint some massive logs. There were half a dozen or more of these great logs. They were 2 or 3 feet in diameter. They were 30 or 40 feet long. We had a big claw thing that we turned it over, but we had to paint it with creosote. Now, that's a black, very smelly, tarry-like kind of thing that preserves wood. And the reason for that was so that these things could then eventually be stood on end 30 or 40 feet long and thumped into the ground until you couldn't see them. Wow, it's a huge amount of effort so that you can't see this thing. It was going into a landfill site. They were reclaiming some marshy land and laying other stuff on it and then putting these things down. There are buildings on top of those piles today. You can't see my work or my friend's work, but there's a solid foundation there. And I believe if they hadn't reached bottom, they would have had even longer logs to put instead. You just do what has to be done to set the foundation in place. And it's a basic principle of the Scriptures, the Bible. Paul has it to say of the Gospel. He says, there is only one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? But you've got to make sure it's that foundation. That is what we have here. Start at the beginning. Devote yourself to finding God truly. and he will show you the way. He will be with you in the way. This is not just a promise of knowing your Bible well. It's not just a promise of knowing about God. It's a phenomenal promise. It's a promise of knowing God, of understanding what it is to have the fear of the Lord. It's about knowing God in relationship. God himself. We sang it at the beginning. Did you remember what we sang? Who is the God that we're talking about? He is the God of Jacob, who links himself to man. But who is this God? He's the one who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And this is the God who says something and he will not fail what he says. This is the God you can know. If you are truly desiring, you are desperate to have discernment and understanding, not just saying you want it, but truly wanting it, you will receive the knowledge of God in relationship. The way that you know other people, you can know him. You can know him better, as he is utterly reliable, unchangeable. And it's in personally knowing God that you will know that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. You will understand what that is. You will know God in his greatness and in his grace, able to do great things, longing to do great things, loving, and in grace, ready to walk with you. The fear of the Lord, this understanding the fear of the Lord, is not that he is a fearsome God, but in his greatness that he draws you to him. And with him as your friend, with him as your Lord, with him as your daily companion, those questions that you're asking that bother you so much, they won't come necessarily as a flash until you do know him intimately. The better you know him, the better you will find those answers. Know him as your friend. Follow him. Walk with him. With him, God, there is only one way to do that. Jesus is often recognized as this wisdom, or in this wisdom in Proverbs. He is the way through whom you will find the Lord, through whom you may know God as your friend, as your Father. This does point us to looking to the way that God has provided, but it is for the one who earnestly seeks him. Take that search metaphor, that picture. I couldn't find my phone before I came out this morning. In some ways I'm almost inclined to say, well, so what? There are some people who couldn't bear to say that. That phone is so precious, so important. It may be something else. If you find something so special that you'll never be without it, you may well be like that pearl merchant who gets rid of everything else so there's just that one thing. You will never lose it again. This is the route to living life well. To know God. Be sure you find him and never lose him. Never lose that relationship. Live life well through knowing him as your closest companion. Then you will care about his joy. And the way you live your life will be for his joy. The way you live your life will be according to his plans, according to his wisdom. There is no wisdom like it. But make it the first thing in your life. Let that be your cry. Let that be your objective. Let that be the light that guides you. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that you're so interested in, that you need, will be added to you. Seek first. That's what Proverbs has to say. Wisdom is there calling out to you. Seek her. Seek it. Seek him in Jesus. And all else that you need will be given to you in his good time. And as we read on into chapter 3, there's a great deal more, yes, needs to be said, but we would hope to come to a few verses in chapter 3 next time, in verses 5 and 6. This is about trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. How do I live my life? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. May God bless his word among us together this morning. Let us pray together. Lord, it would be very easy to rise from our places here and to go from this place and go back to our normal routines. But we pray, O Lord, that your Spirit would hook your word into us, that it will be there, it will be constant with us, it will be calling on us to call on you. That we will not neglect the great promises that you have made, the great gifts that you offer. And draw us, O Lord, away from our foolishness, where so often we do puzzle over so much, failing to look to your Spirit, failing to look on you, see what is fitting for your presence, your worship, and your glory. We pray, therefore, that you would keep us now. May this be the desire of our heart, each of us, crying out, earnest, seeking, searching, and finding. For this is your own promise. We thank you, Lord, that your promises are assured to us through every work of Christ Jesus, and that you are pleased to receive all who come humbly before you. We confess we are simple. Make us wise, we pray. We'd only long to hear more of the voice of our God who has loved us so freely. So continue with us, each one in our condition, that you would lift us to yourself. We ask all only through and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us close by singing together in Psalm 16, on page 16. Psalm 16, page 16, the verses marked 1 through to 8. Protect me, O my God. You are my refuge true. I said, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And we'll sing through to the verse marked 8, and that's 7 stanzas. We'll stand to sing and remain standing after that for the Lord's blessing.
Protect me, O my God, you are my refuge too. I said, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. Guard me in the land, for holiness renowned, they are the glorious ones in whom
Keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.